So my favorite thing about Sundays is being with y'all on Sunday mornings, but I also enjoy Sunday night television, right? We had the Super Bowl last Sunday, one of the greatest football games in the history of football, just a fantastic comeback, an exciting game. But there are also television shows that come on Sunday nights that I like. My favorite show of all time was The X-Files. Any X-Files fans out there? A few, yeah. It was on a few different nights, but there were many years when it was on Sunday nights. But my new favorite show that's on right now on Sunday nights is The Walking Dead. Yeah, anybody watch The Walking Dead? You may not want to admit that in church, but I'll admit it. I watch The Walking Dead. Now, this is a show, some of you may not be familiar with this show. It is a show about the zombie apocalypse. What? The zombie? What is that? So the idea behind a zombie apocalypse is that there are zombies roaming the earth, and most humans have been turned into zombies, and they're trying to get the other humans that are out there. So this show is about a group of survivors who are trying to live and survive and thrive in the midst of these terrible, terrible circumstances. Now, it is not a show for kids, so don't let your kids watch this show. It's gory, there's lots of violence, there's lots of terrible things that happen, which is part of why I like it, right? Because it tells me that even though I'm stressed out about stuff is going wrong in my life, it's never as bad as a zombie apocalypse, right? So that's part of why I like the show. Another reason I like the show, though, is that it shows us what people are capable of given a certain set of circumstances. And people, when they're put in extreme circumstances, can be capable of amazing and wonderful things, and also horrible and terrible things. And we see this in this show, The Walking Dead. Now, this is a popular show. In fact, in 2016, it was the third most watched show on television. 18 million people tuned in every week to watch this show. So there's some kind of appeal to it. But in the show, people are put in these terrible and extreme circumstances. And some respond with bravery and courage and self-sacrifice, and others do horrible and terrible things. I think that is within all of us. That's part of what this show tells me, is that we all are capable of wonderful and amazing and beautiful, courageous things, and we're also capable of terrible, horrible things, given the right circumstance. And in many ways, I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Pat Roberts is cracking up that I'm talking about zombie apocalypse. But in many ways, that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. That we are capable of wonderful and amazing things, but we're also capable of terrible things, depending on what's going on inside of us, what's happening within our hearts. So let's take each of these in turn. The first, Jesus talks about murder and anger. And he has the gall to say that if we are angry in our hearts at someone, that's just as bad as murdering them. Now, I don't think Jesus means that literally, right? He's using some hyperbole here. Obviously, actually killing someone is way worse than being angry at them. There's lots of consequences and things that will come with that. But Jesus' point is that our anger can lead, in circumstances, to us doing harm to others, to us even killing one another. I don't want to admit it, but I can imagine a circumstance where I was so angry at somebody that I would kill them. Now, that's hard to admit. It's hard to recognize that in ourselves. But I think all of us are capable of hurting other people. I know I've hurt people when I've been angry. I've hurt my wife, I've hurt my kids, I've hurt my friends, my family growing up. When we get angry, we tend to lash out and to hurt one another. And so what Jesus is saying here is that we need to deal with these feelings that we have, these feelings of anger. He gives the example as if you come and you make an offering in the place of worship and you realize that there's something going on between you and somebody else. If you're angry at somebody else, then leave that behind and go and deal with that anger. Go and deal with whatever issue is between you and that person. We have to deal with those things in our lives, or they will build up and they will grow and they will fester and bad things will come because of them. We turn next to adultery. Jesus says, if we lust after someone in our heart, if we have those feelings, if we are drawn to someone in that way, it's as bad as committing adultery. Now again, I don't think Jesus means that literally. This is hyperbole. Obviously, actually having an affair with someone has way worse consequences than just having feelings and thoughts towards that person. But if we don't recognize those feelings and thoughts, they can grow within us and lead to terrible consequences in our lives. Last week, I opened my refrigerator and pulled open the drawer at the bottom that has the fruits and vegetables in it. And as I did, I was met with a horrible smell. Anybody ever open that and there's a terrible smell in there? So about 2 weeks prior to that, we'd had some friends over. We had a taco bar. So we had, you know, some taco meat and tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. And I'd bought some peppers and onions in a bag. And I was going to saute those and have that as part of the taco bar, but I forgot. And so they sat in this bag in our refrigerator for a couple of weeks. And so I open the drawer, and the smell just hits me. It makes me take a step back, and the bag has expanded. It is like a balloon. It is huge. There's this odor coming off of it. There's this liquid that is really gross leaking out of it. It's just disgusting, right? Terrible. That's what happens to us when we don't deal with the mess that is inside each and every one of us. When we don't deal with these feelings of anger and lust and other things, it grows and it festers and it can make us explode and do terrible things that hurt us and others. So I took the bag and I threw it away and took the trash can of meat and took the trash bag immediately outside. We have to deal with these things, right? And there are lots of ways to do that. We can pray through these things. We can talk to a pastor. You can talk to a friend. You can talk to a therapist, whatever it might be. But don't let these feelings fester and grow inside of you and lead to something that might explode or that just smells terrible, right? Deal with these things in our lives. I think that is the heart of this first part of what Jesus is telling us this morning. If we don't deal with these things, bad consequences can happen. So let's deal with them. Now, the second section here, Jesus gets into talking about divorce. And I know that is a difficult topic for many of us. These passages in particular have been used to hurt and to shame people in many ways. They're hard for us to talk about and to think about. A lot of times we'll talk about all kinds of things in church, but this is one topic that we like to avoid and not talk about. But we're going to talk about it this morning because Jesus is talking about it. So it's difficult, but I want you to hear that Jesus is not saying, do not get divorced. Jesus doesn't say, thou shalt not get divorced. Jesus is talking about a particular set of circumstances and a way that people were doing things back in his day. The Old Testament gave a man permission to divorce his wife basically for any reason that he wanted. If he didn't like her cooking, whatever it might be, he could divorce his wife as long as he gave her a certificate of divorce. Now, in those days, men and women were not viewed or treated as equal and even close to equal. And so women, especially after they were divorced, were just on their own. And they couldn't own property, and they often couldn't find any kind of job. They were left destitute after a divorce. And so Jesus is saying, don't do that to someone else. Don't just divorce someone for no cause, send them off, and leave them destitute, in poverty, and without much hope for making a living and surviving. Jesus is looking out for those who are most vulnerable when he talks here. He wants to make sure that we care for one another, that we are not so selfish to benefit ourselves at the great expense of someone else. Jesus wants us to care for one another, especially those who are most vulnerable. Now, our society is a little bit different today. Men and women at least in theory, are viewed equally. That doesn't always play out in wages and all those kinds of things. But so I don't think it would be about divorce that Jesus might lift this up today. But what are those areas where someone can be selfish at the expense of someone else? How is it that we, in our privilege and power, can oppress other people and keep them from having the life that God intends for all of us to have? We are called to care for one another, especially those who are most vulnerable. And then finally, Jesus gets into this last part where our phrase for today comes in: let your word be true. And I think what Jesus is really talking about here is deception. That deception cannot be part of what it means to follow Jesus. That deceiving ourselves, deceiving one another, trying to deceive God, is incongruent with the life of faith, the life of a disciple. Jesus uses specific examples here where people will swear by certain things. They'll use holy and sacred religious language to try to make themselves sound good and to convince other people that what they're saying is right and good. And Jesus is saying, we don't need to do that. We need to be people of character and integrity so that when we say something, people know that it's true. That when we say yes, people know it means yes. When we say no, people know that that means no. That we cannot use some swearing or fancy language to convince people of our deception. In Dante's Inferno, he uses an interesting example for this. He talks about, if you're familiar with Inferno, he goes through all these different levels of hell and who is there and how they're suffering and all these things. And he gets to the place where the hypocrites are. Hypocrites who say one thing and do another, who deceive themselves and others. And he says that these hypocrites are clothed in beautiful robes, full of gold and jewels and all kinds of things, just this beautiful outfit. But on the inside, those clothes are lined with lead, and they are weighed down constantly under this great, heavy burden. That's what deception does to each of us. When we try to put something out there that is not true, when we try to convince others of something, it is a great burden for us, both in our real lives and in our online profiles, right? We all try to, many of us try to look better than we really are online. And it just gets exhausting and tiring and heavy. So Jesus' words to us are to let our words be true, to be honest, to be open. Don't try to deceive others, but be real and genuine about who you are. And if so, then we won't be weighed down like that. In the end, I think all of what Jesus is saying today is about holiness. Holiness. Living lives that are worthy of the gift of life that God has given us. Dealing with all the mess in our lives so that we don't hurt other people. Caring for others and not just looking out for ourselves. Being true and honest about who we are. Being real and genuine. We are called to be holy people. And so let us do just that. Let us be the people that God has called us to be. Let us be holy. Let us deal with all that stuff in our lives. Let us care for others. And indeed, let our word be true. Amen.